I need to stop about 9:30. For the rest of you, this morning, class needs to be recorded. I've had requests from people who are practicing in choir as well as church school teachers that they're interested in the lessons that I do, and they never get to hear them. So I'm going to start recording them, and in all of my spare time, I will put them online and make a link for you so that you know if you missed the class or you're really interested in something, you can go back and see it again. This morning's class is on the calendar, but not just in the abstract. I mean the calendar, which you should all have now. So I want to, you pass them out. I'll take one myself. And hold on to one, because we're going to look at it for the class. And then if you already have one and took it home, please return it to the box, if you would. Okay, but we need to look at them this morning. Don't be distracted by the pretty pictures on the top panels of all the churches, okay? Well, we need to look at the actual calendar at the bottom. There, that's easier to see now. All right. What I'd like you to do, if you would just turn to January for the calendar. The church calendar has a lot of things on it that helps us get through not only the liturgical cycles of the week and of the year, but also it has all of our fasting information on it that we need is also there. So beginning, first off, you notice that on Wednesday and Friday, most of the Wednesdays and Friday days are colored a light pink or a light orange. Those are fast days, okay? So typically every Wednesday and Friday are a fast day. If you flip over to February, you see, oh my God, most of the month is all shaded because that marks, we see the beginning of Great Lent. And if you look at March, all of March is shaded over because that's all of Great Lent there. And flip over to April and you'll see that April 8th, Pascha, no more fasting. And in fact, the whole week of Pascha there is a fast-free week because we call it Bright Week. So Wednesday and Friday are not shaded. But after Thomas Sunday on the 15th, we go back to the regular Wednesday and Friday fasts. So if you're wondering, do we fast today or not? Look at your church calendar. There's also, if you look at January 1st, it says up at the very top, no fast. The same for the 2nd and the 3rd and the 4th. No fast, no fast. That's the tail end of the Christmas season. Because remember, we don't fast after Christmas. We don't fast for the 12 days of Christmas. Actually, we don't fast for 11 days of Christmas. Because if you look on Friday, January 5th, strict fast day, the eve of Theophany. So that was last Friday and is a strict fast day. All right? Then, in addition to the fast, there is also occasionally days when fish, wine, and oil are allowed. What those days of fish, wine, and oil are what happens when there's a feast day, or usually a weekend or a Sunday, when the liturgical celebration is bigger. If we were in the monastery, the services would be much longer on those days. And so since the monks were working harder, they reduced the fasting discipline so that they didn't wear out. And so also because it's a feast day and it's something special, they relax the ascetical observance and allow a little bit of joy and relaxation and refreshment on those days. So in the Orthodox Church, we never completely abolish a fast if a feast occurs on a fast day, but we relax it. And the way that we typically relax it is the allowance of fish, wine, and oil on those days. So for example, if you flip over to February, if you look down the Sundays, you see Sunday the 4th, it says Prodigal Son. Sunday the 11th, it says Meat Fair Sunday, Sunday of the Last Judgment. Meat Fair Sunday, that's the last day we eat meat before Great Lent begins. Okay, so you see Monday the 12th, it says Meat Fast. All that week, even on Wednesday, it says, just says Meat Fast. We're actually allowed dairy products during, that's just called Cheese Fair Week. We can have dairy products on those days. But you look on Sunday the 18th, there's Meat Fast and Cheese Fair Sunday, Forgiveness Sunday, and then Monday the 19th, beginning of the Great Fast. All right? But if you look over, so we're in Lent now, but if you look over at Saturday the 24th and Sunday the 25th, we're allowed wine and oil on the weekends. So there's a little relaxation of the fast on the weekends. So you'll see those days occasionally. That occurs particularly during the Dormition Fast and the Nativity Fast. So you, if you care to, you flip all the way back to December, and you'll see many days that have fish, wine, and oil because there are celebrations like St. Nicholas Day is December the 6th. And so since he's a big saint and important, it falls in the middle of the Christmas fast, but we got to do something, so we relaxed the fast, and fish, wine, and oil are allowed that day. Also for us, St. Herman of Alaska on the 13th, we see as the same thing. So your fasting schedule and all is there in your calendar. There are also, not only do we fast, but as I told you, we also feast, and it's something that I try to underscore especially for us, because we hear a lot about the fasting, but it's important that we remember the feasts of the church as well. When there's a feast, even if you're working and you can't get to church to celebrate the feast by coming to Vespers or liturgy, do something at home that's festive. Have something a little better for dinner. Open a bottle of wine with dinner. That special beer, that sweet recipe you've been waiting to try, whatever it is, but do something, especially if you've got kids. Okay, because that way, it's some way to mark, oh, this is a different day. What are we remembering? The theophany, remembering the baptism of Jesus today. Okay, something like that. And it's a way, so we're going to have something special. We get ice cream tonight, or whatever it is that you want to do. But do something to enjoy the feast as well as the fast. And so you see, in January, there on Saturday the 6th, the number 6 is in, the date is in red. And the feast is indicated there, Theophany of Christ, in capital letters and all, and in red. You may have heard in your life of red letter days, this is a really good day, something swell happens, it's a red letter day. Well, it actually comes from the old liturgical calendar, because in the Western Church as well as the Eastern Church, they have the same convention. Important feast days and important saints were indicated on the calendar in red letters. And so if it was a red letter day on the calendar, in the Middle Ages, you didn't go to work because everybody was expected to go to Mass and receive communion on a red letter day. So it came into popular parlance as a particularly swell day. You get a bonus or you get an extra day off from work or something, and that's a red letter day. So if you have a red letter day on the calendar, you know it's a major feast. So if January 6th, if you flip one page, February the 2nd, the meeting of Christ in the temple, also one of the 12 great feasts, so it's a red letter day. If you flip into March, March 25th, the Sunday, that's the Annunciation, there's a special day as well. So the 12 great feast days of the church are all indicated with red numbers on the dates. In addition, you have each of the saints of the days is listed there on the calendar. So, for example, on January the 2nd, we commemorate Venerable Seraphim of Sarov and Pope Sylvester, the Pope of Saint Sylvester, the Pope of Rome. Today we have the Synaxis of John the Baptist. I'll talk about Synaxis here in a moment, what they are. But you see, every day of the church year has got at least one saint on it. In point of fact, this is an extremely abbreviated list of the saints. They're really quite extensive. There are, if you had a full calendar of the Orthodox Church, in some cases there were hundreds of saints on different days. Where there were great massacres of Christians and we know the names of the martyrs that were killed, you'll have all of those. Or like last Thursday was the Synaxis, there it is on the calendar, the Synaxis of the 70 Apostles. All right. At Vespers on Wednesday night, we actually sang all of their names. It was a great tongue twister in Greek names, trying to sing through all of those. So, if I were going to be really full and complete at the end of Vespers and liturgy, I would say, through the prayers of our people, through the prayers of the Most Holy Lady, the Theotokos, Ever Virgin Mary, through the prayers of, and if I had all the list, I would read all of the names of all the 70 apostles and mention them all there at the liturgy, which I ain't doing. We'd still be remembering the names of saints this morning from there. But the most important of the saints are given to us on the calendar there. So, if you have, you can find your own patron saint is probably on here. Not all of them will be, but most of them will probably be on here. So if you look at what's St. George, that's March 23rd. March 23rd, I think, is St. George Day. Am I right? No, I'm not. Where's... They move St. George because he sometimes interferes with Holy Week, and they want to be able to celebrate, April 23rd, my apology. Holy great martyr, victory bearer, and wonder worker, George. So he's important. But you'll find the saints there all on the calendar. Okay? In addition, you also have at the very bottom of each day, you have usually two scripture readings. For example, January 1st, Colossians 2 and Luke chapter 2. If we celebrate liturgy on those days, that's the epistle and the gospel reading that we would read at liturgy that day. Okay? If we don't have liturgy, or if you are at home and you're looking for a schedule, a daily schedule for reading the scriptures so that you're spending some time in the Word every day, if you don't have any other schedule for reading the scriptures, look on your calendar and read the daily epistle and gospel reading that's given here. If you're a little bit tech savvy and you want, you go on the Greek Arch, you can look up the Greek Archdiocese for both Android and for iPhone, and they have a little electronic prayer book. I forget what it's called. Daily readings. And you can download the app, and every day you get up, you tap your phone, and the daily epistle and gospel reading come up, as well as probably a little information about the saint of the day. And I think they also come with like morning and evening prayers. So if you prefer to pray with your cell phone than with a book, that's kind of a handy resource. Then you don't have to look up on the calendar. If you're old school like me and like books, then you look at the calendar. Today, it's Ephesians chapter 4 and Matthew chapter 4 for the Sunday after. And those are the epistle and gospel readings. Also note this. You see there both for Saturday the 6th, and Sunday the 7th, there's a little asterisk next to the saint of the day or the feast. That little asterisk to the left, if you look down on the lower right, there's a shaded blue area on your calendar. That means there are additional scripture readings for that day. And the additional scripture says there's not room to stuff everything in the little box on the calendar. They put the additional scripture readings down below with an asterisk. So if there's ever a day, like January the 11th, Venerable Theodosius the Great, you see his name is in bold because he's a little more important saint on our calendar than St. Gregory, Bishop of Nyssa, who's on the 10th, or Martyr Tatiana of Rome on the 12th. So Theodosius the Great's a little more important. He has his own readings that would be read in addition to the daily epistle and gospel. So that's why those are down there. So if you have, for example, January 3rd, Prophet Malachi. All right, there's your saint of the day. January 2nd, Venerable Seraphim of Sarov is in bolder print, so he's more important. All right. January 17th, Venerable God-bearing Father Anthony the Great, he's in bold but in red, so he's even more important. So you get the ranking of the saints there. So, you know, if you want to know something about the saints a little bit, look for the ones that are in red. They're the more important ones. In fact, there's Anthony the Great's on the back wall back here, you know, right there to the left of the door, because he's important, so he even shows up in our church. Yeah, Miss Paula. True.
Which is, and you were talking about this.
Oh, the Luke and Jump, yeah.
Yeah. Just so people don't get mixed up and upset why it's different, I just throw that out.
Yeah, the Russian and the Greek churches begin reading the Gospel of Luke at about a 2-week interval. It's an ancient thing. Please don't ask me to explain it this morning. But if you use the Greek Archdiocesan program, you will find the gospel readings will be off by 2 weeks from what we do on our calendar and what we read in church. If you want to be, it doesn't matter. So long as you're reading scripture, I don't care, you know, what you're reading, just so long as you're in the Word. If you want to be with what we do, you can go to the OCA website. And under the OCA website, there's a tab at the top for daily scripture readings. And you can click on that, and it's got them all listed with hyperlinks. You can just click through, and they come right up. And the whole reading is right, so you can read them off of that if you want to. All right? So those are some of the basics of the calendar. I'll also point out, if we look here on the left, on the Sundays, the Sunday after Theophany is indicated, which is today, so this is related to the Theophany feast. The leave-taking of Theophany is on the 14th. So we celebrate the whole Feast of Theophany from the 6th until the 14th. They also throw in their... in italics there. If you have friends or family on the old calendar, January the 14th is January 1 on the old style calendar and will be the Feast of the Circumcision of Christ. So that's helpful if you have old calendar friends. Or if you want to go, if you really love Theophany and just can't wait to do it all over again, you'll see on January the 19th, is January the 6th, old style, or old calendar theophany. So you can go to a Russian synodal parish or a Serbian parish or Ukrainian parish and celebrate theophany all over again. Okay? Maybe not. Yes? Yeah. You ask Paula. I don't use it. Yes? Yes, I'm sure there's a bunch of other saints who are remembered today. Yeah. Yes. Yeah, there's not room on the calendar for all of those. True. So in Greece, they're not remembering St. Herman of Alaska and St. Jacob, the missionary to Alaska. We remember those. Yeah, Miss Lee.
How is it determined which passage?
That was set up in about the 4th century. Okay. They set up liturgy for Saturdays and Sundays. They pulled all of the readings for all of the great feasts, like the Christmas readings for Christmas, you know, the Holy Week readings for the Passion, Death, and Resurrection of Jesus. They pulled the readings out for Pentecost and Ascension and all of that. And everything that was left, they just filled in all the weekdays with them. Okay? That's in a thumbnail how they did it. And it's literally been set from about the 4th century. All right? So those are some basics about the feasts. There are some things, like today we have what's called a synaxis, the synaxis of John the Baptist. A synaxis, a Greek word, it simply means an assembly or a coming together. So for right now, we are the synaxis of the church because we have come together for a particular purpose. It has a specific liturgical meaning that when you celebrate a major feast, like the theophany is the baptism of Christ, the day after, there's going to be a commemoration of sort of the secondary characters involved in the feast. So since John the Baptist was involved with the baptism of Christ, the day after the baptism of Jesus, we remember John the Baptist. It's called the Synaxis of John the Baptist. There are actually several of these that come up in the course of the year. If you look on, there's a different one. January 30th. Is the synaxis of the three hierarchs, Basil the Great, Gregory the Theologian, and John Chrysostom. We remember the three great hierarchs all together, but they are actually remembered individually at different times during the month. Where are they? Basil the Great is on January the 1st. Gregory the Theologian is somewhere in here in February. I don't want to take time to look him up. 25th, and the translation of the relics of St. John Chrysostom from exile back to Constantinople is on the 27th. But they're such great hierarchs, we wanted to remember them all at once, so they put them all together on the 30th, and they call it a synaxis, a coming together. We have a liturgy for the three hierarchs together. Flip over to February. February 2nd is the feast of the meeting of Christ in the temple. You remember, he's 40 days old. This February 2nd is 40 days after Christmas. You can count it out. So, on February 2nd, we remember the meeting of Christ in the temple because he got taken there under the old law. Who met him in the temple? The righteous Simeon the elder and Anna the prophetess. So look on February 3rd, righteous God-bearer Simeon and Anna the prophetess. So we remember them as well. All right? Look at March. March 25th is the Annunciation to the Theotokos. Okay, so we remember the Annunciation on the 25th. Who also was involved in it? Archangel Gabriel. So the 26th? Synaxis of Archangel Gabriel. All right? Look on the May. May 28th, or May 27th is the Holy Trinity. That's Pentecost. Okay, who's most involved in Pentecost? The Holy Spirit. Look on the 28th, Holy Spirit Day. That's the synaxis of the Holy Spirit. All right? Flip over one more, June. June 29th is what? The feasts of Saints Peter and Paul, the two chief apostles. Okay, well, we don't want to forget all the rest of the apostles, so look on the 30th, Synaxis of the 12 Apostles. You see? So there are all of these they go through. There's two more, actually. If you look in September the 8th is the Nativity of the Mother of God. And so who else is involved in her nativity? Her parents, Joachim and Anna, So September the 9th is the synaxis of Joachim and Anna. And the last one that's kind of famous is in December. We have, of course, Christmas Day is the birth of Christ. So the day after Christmas will be the synaxis for his mother. Okay? So you see how those synaxes work. All right? There are also, since I have about 10 minutes left, there are some fun things in the calendar. And those of you who enjoy weird math will get a kick out of this. When they put the calendar together, they did have a little bit of fun with it. At one time, the first day of the new year was actually March 25th. In ancient calculations, this was about the time when they would begin. Right after the spring equinox, which we now know as March 21st. Okay, they were able to calculate when the equinox was. And when the days began to get a little longer, and noticeably, was about 4 or 5 days after that. So they marked that, they said that's January 1st. So for a couple of centuries in the Roman Empire, March 25th was the beginning of the new year. Which is why, if you count out March, April, May, June, July, August, September is the seventh month, October is the eighth, November is the ninth, December is the tenth. Okay? That's why those months have those names. Goes back to when New Year's was in March. Now, during those times, they were setting up some of the feasts of the church when the civil calendar was set up that way. And so when we come to flip over to November for me, okay? We get to November. So November is the ninth month. What in the church are there also nine of? There are nine ranks of angels. Okay? You know, thrones, dominions, principalities, authorities, powers, cherubim, seraphim, yada yada. I can never remember all of them, but there they are. We also know that numbers have other meanings, have mystical meanings in the church as well. And we know that the day of resurrection, you know, the first day of the week, the new day, is also called the eighth day. Because it's after the 7 days of creation. The eighth day is the eternal day, the day of redemption and all. Okay? So the eighth day is the day of eternity. So if you're going to have a feast to commemorate all of the angels, when do you want to put it? You want to put it on 9-8, so you can remember that in the ninth month there are nine ranks of angels, but also on the eighth day, because that's the day of eternity. So the most logical day to remember the synaxis of all the bodiless powers is going to be on November the 8th, which is also my name's day as well. See, isn't that clever? They're sensitive to this. Now, I'm going to show you one a little more involved, but that's really, really clever, and you're going to like this. There are three people in the calendar whom we remember not only their birthdays, but also the day that they were conceived. Okay? Three people. They are Christ, his mother, and John the Baptist. So, for example, Christ, we know, his birthday is Christmas, December 25th. The day of his conception is the Annunciation, right? March 25th. That's when Mother of God says, "Be it done unto me according to your will." So Christ was conceived in her womb. Now this makes sense. When they set the feast for Christmas for December 25th, when will his conception be? You count back 9 months from December, you get March, which is why the Annunciation is on March the 25th, because he's got to be, come on, gestation is 9 months for humans. So it's exactly right. March 25th, December 25th, that's the conception to the Nativity of Christ. All right? So Christ is born in December. We're going to hold that in mind. Let's look at Mary the Theotokos. When is her conception? Her conception is actually December the 9th. Is it December the 9th? Yes. Conception by righteous Anna of the Theotokos, December the 9th. This is in the Western Church on the Catholic calendar. This is the Feast of Immaculate Conception, which we don't do, by the way. But nevertheless, Mary was conceived, and we remember her conception on December the 9th. So if she's conceived on December the 9th, we would expect her 9 months later would be September the 9th. So flip back to September, and we expect to find the Nativity of the Mother of God, and we don't have the Nativity of the Mother of God. Her Nativity is on September the 8th. So her conception is off by one day, or her birth is off by one day. You see, it's short one. 9 months, but not exactly 9 months. One day short. Okay? Remember that. Now we have to do John the Baptist. The only other one whose conception nativity is on the calendar. John the Baptist's conception is, what did I write? September the 23rd. Conception, John the Baptist, right there, Sunday the 23rd. So, if we count out 9 months from the 23rd, it comes to June. I'll do the math for you. If we flip back to June, we would expect that his nativity would be on June the 23rd. But it's not. It's on June the 24th. See, Sunday the 24th, Nativity of John the Baptist. So John the Baptist, from his conception to his nativity, is 9 months plus one day. He's off by one day. The Mother of God is off by one day, but she's short a day. John the Baptist is off by one day. He's over by one day. This famous arrangement of Christ with his mother and John the Baptist is called the deist sign. Very often, Christ seated in glory with Mary and John the Baptist praying for us on either side of him, very often appears over the royal doors. Okay, it's very often a central icon. Christ is in the center. He has a perfect nativity. March 25th, December 25th. Mary, the Mother of God, is one off, and she's short a day. John the Baptist is on this side, and he's over one day. And so their conceptions are imperfect, because only Christ has the perfect one. But they're off by a day relative to where they stand, next to Jesus in the icon. Now, is that not clever? That is so sweet! But, wait, there's more! Because Jesus is born December 25th, which is right after what? The winter solstice. What is the winter solstice? It is the shortest day of the year, right? Now we know from the Annunciation in Luke's Gospel that when the Archangel Gabriel came to Mary, he said, "Your cousin Elizabeth is in her sixth month." So when we figure that when the church set the date of Jesus' nativity, they already knew, based on the gospel, that John the Baptist is going to be 3 months, it's going to be 6 months off, because, you know, Jesus, you see, it's all relative, so the dates were all put. So John the Baptist has to be born 3 months after Jesus is. Okay, did I say that right? No, she's already in the sixth month from March. So April, May, June. That's why John the Baptist's birthday is in June, because that's what the angel said. Okay, so this is all based on the scriptural account. But his nativity is June the 24th. This is 3 days after what? The summer solstice, which is the longest day of the year. So Jesus is born after the shortest day of the year. John the Baptist is born after the longest day of the year. Do you remember what John the Baptist says in John's Gospel about himself and Jesus? That he must increase while I must decrease? The way that John the Baptist decreases is after his birthday, the days start getting shorter. And when Jesus is born, the way Jesus increases is because after Jesus' birth, the days start getting longer. Now, is that not just mind-blowing? That's just beautiful stuff, you know? And it shows the sensitivity that the fathers had. You know, before we had electric lights and electric clocks and all of that, we ignored really what the seasons did. They were so in tune with the seasons of the year and the cycles of time, that they put together the commemorations of the saints in the church that have a root in the natural phenomenon of nature around us. Is that not wonderful? That's just cute as it can be. All right, they're saying I have to finish. I got more, but it's all right. We'll save it for another time. Another time. As I say, class is a little short today because we have a chrismation to do, so we'll do the hours until about a quarter till. We will chrismate Barbara. We'll start that at about a quarter till. And I think that's it. If you would, put your calendars back in the box here so that people who have not yet got one will have opportunity to get a calendar. All right? Thank you too much.